The show is live and local. It's your connection to local performances, including on Sunday afternoon, presentation of some of the Concert Artists Guild winners at the Krannert Center for the Performing Arts in Urbana. It'll feature the Linden String Quartet in some music by Bartok, and also pianist Michael Brown in music by Debussy and Ravel, and they will combine forces for music by Robert Schumann. My guest later on this hour will be pianist Michael Brown. But first, a conversation with Chester Always, who is music director of the Baroque Artists of Champaign-Urbana, who are giving a concert called Bach and Beyond on Sunday evening at St. Matthew Catholic Church in Champaign, featuring their chorus. It's live and local. Stay tuned. This music by Johann Sebastian Bach is a motet called Singet dem Herrn, Sing to the Lord. And music will be performed by the chorus of the Baroque Artists of Champaign-Urbana on Sunday evening at 7:30 at St. Matthew Catholic Church in Champaign. The program is called Bach and Beyond. Bach is the acronym for the Baroque Artists of Champaign-Urbana. You get that, I'm sure. And they focus, as the name suggests, on Baroque music. But every once in a while, they do one of these programs, primarily with the chorus, in which they go beyond Bach, mostly for the chorus's fun, I think. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they don't do any Bach. This, as it happens, they're doing some music by Bach and some other things. With me is music director for the Baroque Artists, Chester Always. Thank you very much for coming in.
Nice to be here again, Kevin.
So you did the first one of these quite a while ago, I think.
Yes, we've done several, as you indicated, and they are primarily ways of us to broaden our concert repertory beyond the limits of the Baroque period. We've done, like three or four of these, I'm sure, and some smaller kind of more chamber programs that were that same way. And part of that, we had a series called Bach and Beyond for a while down when we used to do it at Great Impasta.
Instrumental ensembles.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I know you've done some, at least one where you didn't have any Baroque music at all. This one will have the Bach and anything else Baroque?
Nope, that's it.
So you have music from the Renaissance, represented by
mm-hmm.
Palestrina.
Mm-hmm.
And you're sharing this program with associate?
Associate music director.
Laurie Matheson.
Laurie Matheson, right.
Any instrumentalists involved in this concert?
For the Mozart, we have a string trio. Maureen Murchie and Igor, I can't remember his last name. And Ben Hayek, and with the organ. That's the only piece that's using instruments, and then we're using organ with the Bach.
Well, tell me about this piece. The Mozart is Kirchhoff 222, but you mentioned the name, and I don't recognize it at all.
It's a choral piece that a lot of people don't know. It's not one of certainly the well-known Mozart pieces like some of the Masses and the Requiem or Ave Verum Corpus. This is a piece that Mozart wrote in what I lovingly call a correspondence course in counterpoint that he took with Giovanni Battista Martini, who was a Catholic priest, hence often referred to as Padre Martini. This was in the 1770s, and Mozart, realizing that he needed to learn counterpoint.
So he was like 16 or so something like
mm-hmm.
that.
In his teens. And he submitted, they had a correspondence where he would be given work to do, and he would submit pieces, and this was one of those pieces. So it's an elaborate counterpoint study that really consists of just two phrases of music, Misericordias Domini, the mercy of the Lord, and then Cantabo in aeternum, I will sing in eternity, literally. And the Misericordias Domini piece music is the same homophonic, you know, kind of chordal music that sets that one phrase of text, and it recurs some seven or eight times in the course of this piece. And then between that, there are increasingly lengthy and increasingly complex sections of counterpoint built on a variety of themes that start off very leisurely, so it's a little bit deceiving, but by the time you get to the end, he manages to bring all of them together with practically no music that isn't, you know, contrapuntally part of that scheme of motives.
So do we know if that was specifically the assignment from Padre Martini?
Or this was a piece he sent to Padre Martini to show him what he was doing and get critiqued. And I suspect that he was not critiqued very much.
I was going to say, it sounds like he probably passed right out of the course on this one.
Yeah, I think he probably passed.
What's the term they call use this in academia if you test out of a class?
Oh, yes.
Or something like that. So you don't have to take it.
I've been out now for 6 months.
And you've forgotten it all. Yes, Chet always has retired, and so has his brain, apparently.
Yes, yeah, right.
Do we know who's... This is one of the ones we don't know who's singing this?
No, week? I don't, and I should apologize to the audience because I had to put this together in a hurry, and I didn't have it in my library. My wife had made this practice CD for the car, and it's a European chorus, of that I'm sure. It's got a bigger orchestra than we'll have. We're just having one player per part. Mm. But it's some Austrian chorus and orchestra.
Music by Mozart that will be on the concert by the Baroque Artists Chorus and a few instrumentalists Sunday evening in Champaign. We'll hear a little bit of this, a piece that, as I indicated, was unfamiliar to me, and I'm guessing probably will be to you too. Hope you enjoy it. There you've gotten a nice taste of some music by Mozart that will be on the concert by the Baroque Artists of Champaign-Urbana Chorus with a few instrumentalists, on Sunday night at St. Matthew Catholic Church in Champaign, Sunday night, 7:30. Music director Chester always is with me. Chet, you haven't been at that church before, have you?
No, this is our first time, and it's a beautiful building and acoustics, so we're looking forward to... It's our first time in that venue, so it's nice to change venues, and It's got wonderful parking and good acoustics and space.
I'd always heard they don't do concerts there.
Well,
is that a change in somebody's attitude?
I gather so, because we tried unsuccessfully. I wanted to do the St. Matthew Passion there back in 2002. Makes natural sense. You're doing St. Matthew Passion, doing St. Matthew Catholic Church. But they were not allowing outside groups in. But this time they said okay. And I don't know what... It was a change in administration or policy or what. We'll see how it goes.
Well, you know, I've should use a different term, but it's true. I've coveted that space myself. I've gone in
sure.
there and said, oh, this would be great.
It's lovely, and it's got nice acoustics, and it's got space, you know, up front, even for an orchestra and chorus. So we'll see how it goes, and if everything goes right, I'll let you know, and hopefully we can have a chance to do something together there, maybe. Sometime.
Well, that would be fine.
Yeah.
If somebody wants to get tickets, just show up at the door.
I think that's the simplest thing. Yeah, they probably can. We have this feature now. I understand, although this is out of my area of expertise, that you can get print your own ticket, kind of thing on the website.
Well, let's see. I'm on your website. It says tickets. I'm clicking tickets, and. Okay, so the computer's going slow. This might not work. Well, we won't waste the audience's time, but you can try it. Oh, look at there. Purchase tickets. So, yeah, I guess you can do that.
Yep.
Which is baroqueartists.org. And you can also, of course, look at the other concerts upcoming in the season, including the Young Baroque Artist winners showcase concert with chamber music, which will be in towards the end of April. Mm-hmm. And then in June, music by Handel and Purcell.
I would say we already know who the people are, and I don't know the names off the top of my head.
Oh, you just had the competition
last
Saturday.
We just had the competition last Saturday, and there were 22 applicants, and that's really very heartening.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
And we have three winners and two honorable mentions, and they'll all perform on the April 20th concert, and then the second half of that concert will be French Baroque music with Charlotte Maddox and Liz Buckley, music of Jacqueline Germain de Saint-Guerre.
De la Guerre.
Yeah.
That's a project of Liz Buckley's.
Mm-hmm.
A long-time project.
Dissertation, and I think they're doing a CD.
Oh, wow, that should be fantastic. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm sure we'll hear more about that as that concert comes up. There's other music on the program, of course, for Sunday night, including, Psalm 43 of Mendelssohn. I love this piece.
It's a beautiful piece.
Talk about this a little bit.
I'm not conducting it. Laurie's conducting this piece, but the ties between Bach and Mendelssohn are obvious. In fact, if one goes to Leipzig, and I now can say that because I have been there, the statues of Bach and Mendelssohn are not that far apart.
You were just there last summer.
Last fall, yeah. Mm. And so on the front side of the where the Thomaner Square is the statue of Mendelssohn by the Hochschule, and then you go around the corner and there's J.S. Bach. So this is a big double chorus motet, which I think Mendelssohn was inspired by motets by Bach using eight parts, setting up the entirety of Psalm 43, but not, it's got some imitation in it a la Bach, but not as extensive as Singet im Herrn. It's mostly chordal harmony and antiphonal effects, men versus women.
You probably don't remember this. I assume you were there 20 years ago, but I did this on my master's recital.
Oh, did you?
My master's choral recital.
Well, yeah. It's funny. Donald Nally, who's in town now, filling in, doing a choral concert with the chorale while Fred Solzfuss is on sabbatical, asked me, he saw something about it. We were talking about the program, and he came to a rehearsal, and he heard them rehearsing, and he said, which was first, this piece or Opus 42, which is an orchestral psalm by Mendelssohn, as the deer, like as the deer pants? Mm-hmm. You know, that, and I said it had to be the other, but they have exactly the same theme because the same text. Was betrübst du dich meine Seele? And it's exactly the same in both the orchestral setting and near the end of the motet.
Well, it's splendid music, by Felix Mendelssohn that'll be on the Baroque Artists of Champaign-Urbana concert with their chorus Sunday night at 7:30, St. Matthew Catholic Church. For more information, baroqueartists.org. Chet Always is music director. Thanks, as always, for joining us.
A pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Music by Felix Mendelssohn, his setting of Psalm 43, performed by the RIAS Chamber Choir. I believe that's a group conducted by Marcus Creed, if I remember this from a CD that has no notes. Heard here on Live and Local on FM 90.9, and that is one of numerous pieces that will be on, or I should say several pieces, on the Baroque Artist Concert in Champaign Sunday night. Illinois Public Media is 90 years old and will kick off a year of memories and celebrations with a visit by Andrea Seabrook, NPR congressional correspondent. Join Andrea and the WYNL news team for a wine and cheese reception at Campbell Hall on Wednesday, April 11th. Tickets are $25 per person, and call 217-333-7300 for reservations. Programs on WYLL Today are made possible in part by Krannert Center for the Performing Arts, welcoming the Duke of Uk and his novelty orchestra for a free noontime interval concert on Friday, March 2nd. More information is at krannertcenter.com or 217-333-6280. Stay tuned for a conversation with Concert Artists Guild winner, pianist Michael Brown, who will be appearing at the Krannert Center on Sunday afternoon. It was music by Isaac Albéniz called El Puerto, which means, in one interpretation, literally the door or the port, and a performance here by Michael Brown, pianist who will be with the Linden String Quartet on Sunday night's concert at 3 o'clock at the Krannert Center for the Performing Arts. It's the concert, a program of Concert Artists Guild winners, And indeed, Mr. Brown was first prize winner of the 2010 Concert Artists Guild Victor El Male competition. And he's with me on the phone right now. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Did I get close to saying his last name right?
I think you said pretty much everything right so far, which actually really impresses me.
Oh, well, I was more worried about just pronouncing the guy's last name right.
That was perfect.
And who is that guy?
Now, Victor is, I think he's about 93 years old, and he is credited with bringing the Volkswagen Beetle to this country. And
oh, seriously?
He's a sort of real estate architect, developer, slash owns a lot of big buildings in Manhattan, and he's a really a real sort of Renaissance man. He also was won like the national squash championship in like the 1950s when he was much older than his competitors. He was like twice their age. Anyway, he's really into supporting young musicians and pianists in particular. And no, he's a wonderful and brilliant man. So
you've met him, I gather.
Yes. No, I know him quite well, actually. And he's actually sponsoring a series of recordings for to help sort of young pianists. He's sort of funding a lot of recordings, and he funded my debut recording, which should be out in a couple of months.
Did he get his name attached to this competition simply because he was interested in the piano and supporting pianists and offered to sponsor it?
Yes, he's been a donor for Concert Artists Guild, which is an organization that has an annual competition, and then they have a roster. And what comes with the prize is a couple years of management. It's sort of like pre-commercial management help and different opportunities and concerts and all these wonderful things. I'm part of that. And Victor El Male is sort of their biggest donor at this point. And he's on the board, and they renamed the competition after him because he's been incredibly vital in keeping the organization thriving.
So you have your dual bachelor and master's degrees in piano and composition from the Juilliard School. How long are you out of school by now?
Just since May of last year, 2011.
Oh, so you're still very fresh, as far as that goes. And what made you decide to do both piano and composition? It's a little bit unusual, I think.
Well, they were things that I've been doing since a very young age. I started playing the piano when I was 6 and composing when I was 10, and I've done both simultaneous ever since. And then when it came time to apply to colleges, I thought I would just apply for both, and because I didn't know it was going to happen. I didn't know, and I got in for both, and then I talked to Juilliard and I said, well, can I pursue both majors? And they said, sure, just your life may be miserable, but go for it. So that's what I did, and I did it in the same amount of time as if you were doing one major, because a lot of the courses were the same. It was just basically extra lessons and a couple of extra things here and there, but it was sort of a wonderful thing to do both, and I think that both of those disciplines sort of feed off of each other, and each one can enhance the other and learn a lot from doing both.
What kind of music does a 10-year-old write, or did a 10-year-old Michael Brown write?
Well, I don't know. I mean, nothing that I'm particularly proud of today, but probably something inspired by Mozart or Chopin. And then as you go to 14, you start trying to imitate. At that age, you're purely imitating people. Then I started imitating, like, Bartok and Shostakovich, and then now I've sort of hopefully started going off into my own world, and I've studied with Sam Adler composition and Robert Beezer and those people who studied with Copland and that school of thought, so pretty influenced now by that sort of 20th century Americana language for composition.
I have only the one sample that I've heard of your music, which I thought I'd share with our listeners. This is either called Contours No. 1, or is this an excerpt from Contours No. 1?
No, this is the Contours is a piece I wrote for four pianist friends of mine in four short movements. So this is the first movement, let's say Contours 1.
Are you able to say what friend this was written for?
This is written for a wonderful pianist friend of course, that's not, I have no secrets. A pianist named Julio Elizalde, who was a sort of classmate of mine at Juilliard for 6 years, and has gotten actually his doctorate, and is out performing as well as a wonderful pianist. And he's played this, but here, this is me playing it, this recording.
And what's the significance of the term contours in this context?
Well, nothing much in particular, except that the piece is largely based on short little gestures of lots of different shapes and lines going up, lines going down. It's a short gestural movement, and I thought the term contours really captured that spirit, that sentiment.
Is Contours number 1, composed and performed by Michael Brown, who will be playing on Sunday at 3:00 at the Krannert Center, along with the Linden String Quartet. And we're talking to him here on Live and Local. Michael Brown's Contours number 1. He was also playing the piece, and he is a recent Concert Artists Guild winner, and in that capacity is coming to the Krannert Center on Sunday afternoon, along with the Linden String Quartet, who are also winners of one of the Concert Artists Guild competitions. And they're going to play, the Lindens are, some music by Bartok, one of his string quartets, number 5 to be specific. Mr. Brown will be playing some music by Debussy and Ravel on his own. And together they'll be doing the wonderful piano quintet by Robert Schumann. Have you worked with the Lindens before?
I have not, actually. We won the Concert Artists Guild the same year, which was 2010. And we're actually performing the Schumann Quintet for the first time. I think they've played it before, but this is actually my first Schumann Quintet. So I'm particularly excited to work on that piece and to work on it with an established string quartet and a wonderful one. Should be fun.
So it's your first time playing the piece at all, or the first time playing it with them?
At all.
At all.
And I played a lot of chamber music because I've been to the Marlboro Music Festival and the Ravinia Festival, and I've done a lot of chamber music, and I've played pretty much everything, but not that, you know.
I was going to say, how did you with those kinds of experiences?
Yeah.
How did you miss this so far?
Yeah, you know, sometimes they just things get lost through the shuffle and slip through the cracks. But I'm sure I'll play it many, many more times in my life, and I'm happy to finally play it. I mean, that's a piece I've known and heard millions of times. That's probably too many times, but lots of times.
Lots of times.
And it's a piece I love and excited to get to know it even better.
Well, we'll actually come back to that. I'm getting ahead of myself just a little bit, but since you mentioned some of the couple of these other great chamber music festivals, the Marlboro in particular has been going on for a long, long, long time and focuses on chamber music. How did you get involved in that? Does one get invited? Do you apply? How does that work?
Well, technically, it's a little bit of both. But I applied. I've also been fortunate to know Richard Good beforehand, and I've had some lessons with him.
And he's one of the co-directors of the festival.
He's one of the yes. He's an amazing person and an amazing pianist, and he's been very nice to me and an amazing teacher as well. And yeah, and I auditioned, and then they invited me for summer of 2011. It's basically they invite people based on auditions for when they have openings, because people typically go there for about 3 consecutive summers, unless you do something horrible like light a building on fire or something, and then they probably won't invite you back. But if you things go well, typically people go to Marlboro for about 3 years. And so last summer was my first, and it was really an amazing experience to put all of these really well-known, established musicians with lifelong experiences with certain repertoire and just life, and younger people like myself, and putting them. It's like an artist colony that it's hard to describe unless you sort of go there and check it out. It's really an amazing place.
How does that contrast with Ravinia, where you, I guess, have played on their what they call the Rising Stars series? And
yeah,
even touring with musicians from Ravinia.
Very similar places. I would, Ravinia is a little bit shorter. Ravinia is more focused on performance, and Marlboro, they don't guarantee that anyone performs, but it's a place they call for study, and it's amazing because the people who buy the tickets to go to the Marlboro concerts have no idea what the repertoire is going to be, and they decide very late. It's basically which groups are ready, who wants to perform. But at Ravinia, it's very much set in stone. You know exactly when you're going to perform. And so there's pluses and minuses to both systems. I think the Marlboro system is rather unique. I don't think there's any other place like it. So,
talk about some of the other awards competitions that you've won and how important they've been to you. I'm thinking specifically of, for example, the Juilliard School's Gina Bachauer competition, and then also this very recent one, the Lily Boulanger Memorial Fund Award. Is that one more for composers, or is that also for pianists?
It's basically both, actually. The Lily Boulanger Fund, I won it as a... I submitted both of my compositions and my piano playing, and so they give annually to different musicians, and for about 60 years now, lots of composers and pianists and I think organists, and so I think it just depends every year. Maybe they have a different focus. I'm not sure who they give the award to, but also recently I won this award as part of a Juilliard. This Petchek Award, and I can use this opportunity. I'll be playing 2 solo recitals in New York City in April. One was April 10th for winning the Concert Artist Guild Award. That's in Weill Hall, and April 23rd for winning this Juilliard Petchek Award, and that'll be in Alice Tully Hall. So I'm going a little bit crazy to get all this repertoire, different programs, and some of my own music will be on there as well. So trying to keep it all together.
Well, let's play a little, since I mentioned earlier that you'll be playing some music of Debussy and Ravel on Sunday's concert at the Krannert Center. Why don't we hear a little bit of music by Debussy? I don't know if this will be on that program or not. But it comes from his Etudes Book 2. And as the name implies, these are very artistic exercises for the piano. In this case, it's called in French, pour les agréments, which means what for the pianist?
For the ornaments. Each Debussy etude, he wrote 12, and each one has a different title for the eight fingers or for the thirds that indicate a different pianistic feat. That an etude is an exercise originally. It's a study. These are obviously rather complex pieces that go far beyond the meaning of the word exercise, but the sentiment is the same, that it's the piece is full of lots of quick little ornaments and decorations, and he builds a whole unique sound world around that concept.
And is this from a live performance that you recall?
I believe so. That's right.
Michael Brown playing music by Claude Debussy here on Live and Local.
Thank you.
Music by Claude Debussy from his second book of Etudes for the Piano. This one is called Pour les Agréments, or For the Ornaments. Lots of it, little filigrees and ornamentations going on there. Michael Brown is the pianist, and he will be at the Krannert Center on Sunday afternoon playing some music by Debussy and Ravel on his own. The Linden String Quartet also on that concert. Both Michael and the quartet have won prizes with the Concert Artists Guild, so that's what's bringing them here. And the quartet will play music by Bartok, and together they will play the Robert Schumann's Piano Quintet in E-flat. And wanted to ask how many opportunities you've had so far to play with orchestra.
I've been fortunate to have some opportunities to do that as well. When I was at Juilliard, I played with the music director of the New York Philharmonic, Alan Gilbert, and the Juilliard Orchestra as winner of their concerto competition. We did the Beethoven First in Alice Tully Hall. And earlier this season, I played with the New Haven Symphony, the Beethoven's Third, on their opening night concert. And next season, I'll be doing the McDowell Piano Concerto with the New Haven Symphony. So,
was that a piece that you selected to play for them, or did they ask you to play that particular piece?
The McDowell?
Yeah.
No, they asked me, actually. And the conductor thought I'd be sort of a good choice for this big sort of American but Brahmsian concerto, and it's a piece that I've never played before, and I'm excited to play. And it's a piece that used to be popular and is not played so often today. Andre Watts has sort of championed the work but doesn't really play it much anymore. So it should be exciting and sort of fresh. It'll have a nice fresh quality to the audience. It's not like playing the Tchaikovsky or Grieg or Rachmaninoff second, different flavor.
And I was kind of interested to know who may have asked you, because I know in your role as composer, you're obviously interested in forging new paths. In fact, I see here that you co-founded something called New Paths, New Music. And while McDowell is not exactly by any means new music, it's certainly music that doesn't get played all that often.
That's true.
And I wonder, when you're making your own programs, how you go about creating the mix.
Yes. Well, that's really important for me, to play a lot of pieces that, one, don't get played very often and deserve to. And I think that's fun as a pianist and as a composer to kind of discover these pieces. And then it's important to find a nice balance in terms of programming to integrate them in a way that makes sense artistically and creatively and doesn't alienate the particular audience in whatever city it may be too much. It has to be done carefully, but I'm constantly finding and searching for new pieces today, and for recently composed pieces, and for pieces that were composed a long time ago but don't get the credit they deserve.
Well, I wish the best of luck in the flowering of your career here.
And thank you so much.
You're very welcome, and thanks for joining us, too.
No, pleasure.
So we're going to go out with the rondo from Beethoven's First Piano Concerto. Does this come from that performance with the Juilliard Orchestra?
This is live with the Juilliard Orchestra and Alan Gilbert from April of 2010.
It's a great opportunity, and it's a nice performance. Michael Brown will be with the Linden String Quartet, both separately and together, Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock at the Krannert Center in Urbana. They're all winners of the Concert Artists Guild Awards. And you're hearing him on Live and Local on FM 90.9. just a taste of a performance by Michael Brown with the Juilliard Orchestra, conducted by Alan Gilbert, in Beethoven's First Piano Concerto, Final Movement, here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. He'll be at the Krannert Center on Sunday afternoon for a recital with the Linden String Quartet. Here's a fun opportunity for travel coming up in May. You can fly to Washington, D.C. with WILL. Come with us to the nation's capital and spend 4 days touring the city, including a stop at the NPR studios. Our trip will leave from Campbell Hall, the home of Illinois Public Media, on May 4th and return on May 9th. Call 217-333-7300 or visit our website, will.illinois.edu/willtravel, for information. Quick look at some events in our area you can go see and hear live, some other events than what we've talked about so far. The Easton Stewart Trio, will play jazz at the Iron Post in Urbana this evening at 8 o'clock, this evening at 5 o'clock. University of Illinois Philharmonia will be at the Krannert Center in Urbana tomorrow evening at 7:30. The Linden Duo, who are flutist Kim Reisinger and guitarist Angelo Favis, will be at the Illinois State University Kemp Recital Hall in Normal tomorrow evening at 7:30. Denise LaGrassa is at the Doubletree in Bloomington tomorrow evening at 5. And Ryan Groff and Justin Kessel are at the Clark Bar in Champaign tomorrow evening at 6:30. You're listening to 90.9 WYL FM and HD Urbana with translators W266 AF Urbana and W293 AF Danville, NPR Classical Music and More for Central Illinois. WYL is a member-supported service of the College of Media at Illinois, and we have support from the Corkscrew Wine Emporium, 203 North Vine, Urbana, with wines, beers, and spirits for the serious collector to the first-time buyer. Wine tastings are held on Saturdays from 3 to 6:30 p.m. in the Bouvon Wine Bar. More information is available at thecorkscrew.com. At a minute past 1 o'clock, we have 49 degrees.